Good morning. What a beautiful morning. What a beautiful creation. Have you enjoyed the sun? Early spring, perhaps. I think winter's coming back again. You know, God was making all of creation and was showing off to Angel Gabriel. Says, look what I've done. I put the earth on a tilt so that as it goes around the sun, it changes the seasons. Isn't that awesome? Gabriel was duly impressed. He says, you know what else I decided to do? I decided to spin the planet. So half the time, sunshine, half the time, night. Gabriel said, that's awesome. That's awesome. Have you given any thought about what you're going to call that? And God says, I think I'll call it a day. That's not in the scripture necessarily there. By way of announcements, this Wednesday night, 7 p.m., we will celebrate Ash Wednesday. A solemn evening, an evening of what I think is moving instrumental music of lighting and the imposition of ashes. You are all invited, 7 p.m. We will celebrate here. Those of you who can't come, join us online. I cannot impose ashes over the internet, but you can join us in spirit. Are there other announcements for the good of the order as we come and we gather? Michael Sandy Tinney seems to indicate that she has something to share.
Saturday is Women of Praise. We meet at 10 o'clock in the parlor.
Thank you. He left, so now you have to run the microphone around. No. Other things for the good of the order. You should have all received a Lenten journey notebook for you if you would like. So often we say, well, it's Lent, and we think about Lent every Sunday when the pastor lifts it, as we say, this is the second or third or fourth Sunday of Lent. But it is a journey. Lent is intended to be a journey for us. Linda Emerson has made these up for us. Take a minute and write down what has Lent meant for you each day as you were in that journey, or however you'd like to use these for your personal spiritual journey as we journey through the season of Lent toward Easter. Other announcements, other things for the good of the order? I don't see any others. Stand, if you will, wave hello to one another. Let's turn to our call to worship.
Good morning. Join me in the call to worship, please. Come, brothers and sisters in Christ, join me in worshiping our great, loving God Almighty. We join our family to hear the word, to pray, to listen for Christ's voice, and to sing our praise. Where does Christ fit into your lives? Where is Christ not a part of our lives? Lord, guide us to find these places. Show us how to leave them behind. Let us join together in following Christ, the teacher who shows us the right path.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Okay.
So while you're all standing, look at the screen, grab a hymn note, turn to page 618, and we'll sing Let Us Break Bread together. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together. When I fall on my Be seated.
Thank you, Mark. We're going to go with 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 18. This is different than the program. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our competence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant. Not of letter, but of spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death chiseled in letters on stone tablets came in glory, so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of the condemnation, much more does the ministry of justification abound in glory. Indeed, what once had glory has lost its glory because of the greater glory. For if what was set aside came to glory, much more has the permanent coming glory. Since then we have such a hope, we act with complete frankness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the old covenant, the same veil is still there. It is not unveiled, since in Christ it is set aside. And indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another, for that comes from the Lord, the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Perfect. Thank you. I invite the ensemble forward. Thank you.
So to let you all know, I'm going to put a hat on. Not out of disrespect, but to cut down the glare from my head.
Thank you, ensemble. Indeed, glory to God's name. We're celebrating and celebrating. They're moving the chords so that we don't stumble when we take communion. Communion this morning is open to everyone who would come forward and who would participate. We celebrate open communion. You see that printed in your worship bulletin. By way of our time of prayer, we have listed on the back of the bulletin some of our prayer concerns. Do you have other things that you would have lifted this morning, other prayers of concern? Michael, Renee Verone has a prayer concern.
My prayer is that the three branches of government do their job. We know that Christ has control over all of it. We need the people that we elected to step up. and make America as it was supposed to be.
Thank you, Renee. Concerns for our nation, indeed. Concern for our world. Debbie Burns, please.
I don't know whether Joe planned to say anything. His brother Bob passed away yesterday from heart problems that were triggered by the flu. So we would like prayers for his wife Terry and his family and us.
Okay. Prayers for Joe Burns' brother Bob. Thank you. I had that, but Debbie, thank you for lifting. You did better. Other concerns in our midst. I would lift a fellow that sort of related to us in ways, Pope Francis. I have not heard any word this morning, although I know that his condition has vacillated up and down. Does anybody have the latest information? The latest prognosis I heard was is relatively positive again. He is not a spring chicken, but is suffering and has lost part of one lung, from what I understand. But that was as a youth. But he is under doctor's care. When we give thanks for all our caregivers. How many of you have seen a doctor or some caregiver in the last year? We are grateful, are we not? Amen. Amen. Mostly amen. Paya, could I ask you to give us an update on this fella? What's his name? Nalu? Paya Kalamani? Yes, okay. Eddie's boy.
He still has his knee brace on. He got the MRI, but we'll see a doctor to see what their diagnosis will be on March 13th.
Okay.
So until then, I have an old man at home.
I'm going to stay out of that. Nalu, prayers for you, brother. Recovering. Other prayer concerns, other things in our midst. We may see weather again this week. I'm told, or the weather people are kind of unsure what's going to happen, but it could be a significant weather event. It could be mostly rain. I'd be all right with that as long as it doesn't flood everything. But Helen, did you order this up, some rain for the lawns and stuff? Okay, we'll take it if we get it. All right. I'm not sure all of you, there's an old friend of mine that's here this morning. Ron is here. Mackey's is here. We have not seen you since November, if I'm not correct, if not mistaken. So Ron, it's good to see you back. Yeah, amen, amen. And by the way, behind you, Renee hasn't been here much more than that. So the two of you have been off cavorting again, haven't you? That puts a dangerous image in one's mind. Other concerns. By way of celebrations, the only birthday I have listed is Elizabeth Tavaki having a birthday. Is that true? 7 years old? That's today. Is that true? Somebody's shaking their head, no, that's not true.
Elizabeth is going to be 7 on the 5th.
No, I have it down here on the 2nd.
Okay.
She'll have to change her day.
Okay.
It's the 5th? All right, well, we'll try and make that correction.
And can I include two others?
Please.
I have a grandson, Manuel. He turns 13 tomorrow, the 3rd, and then little Nalu turns 5 on the 4th, Elizabeth's brother. He wanted his own day. Didn't want to share one with Lizzie.
All right. Birthdays and birthday celebrations. Those are milestones that God shares with us. That's one way we're created, and we belong, and God notices those and is aware of those and celebrates those with us. Are there others? Anything else for the good of the order by way of prayers? I don't see anything. I'm hoping I'm not forgetting anything. Let's turn to our unison prayer. Let us read responsively.
Knocking out those volumes that are coming
in. We praise you, Lord, in whom we live and move and have our being. We join all creation in prayers of adoration, worship, and thanksgiving. We ask that you give your attention to our requests. Guide us to proclaim Christ's message of your love to our neighbors, to bring healing to the brokenhearted, to offer relief to the oppressed, and wholeness to the wounded. Thank you for our salvation. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who invites us and guides us to be servants to one another. I invite you to a moment of silence and meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving, gracious God, thank you for the sunshine, and thank you for your sunshine. Thank you for the gifts that you've given us of life and growth and rejuvenation and rebirth as we begin to see plants emerging from the soil. Thank you for your gifts of life and rebirth and rejuvenation, which you give us through Jesus Christ and through the forgiveness of our sins and through the growth that you inspire us to, the guidance that you give us, and the love with which you nurture us. Loving Lord God, thank you for the people next to us. Whether they are in the pew or if they are saints in heaven who sit virtually beside us, they are brothers and sisters in Christ, fellows in our journey, sisters in our ways of being in the world. They are companions with us in all times and in all places. We give you thanks for all of the gifts that we've received, the good gifts that we've received, the learnings that have been instilled, the growth that has been inspired in us, the nurturing and the nudging that has helped us move from complacency. Lord, journey with us, acknowledging that we are calling ourselves Christ's people. As Christians, we seek to do your will, your guidance. Guide us, inspire us, redirect us where we err, confront our denials, nudge us to be the people of love and care, so that people will know we are Christians. In this time, in this place, Lord, we know that there are other prayers, silent prayers lifted to you in dark nights of the soul, special prayers lifted to you out of the depths of our hearts. Thank you for the forgiveness you give us when we earnestly repent. Help us accept your forgiveness and forgive ourselves to become fully the people you guide us to be, the spirits full of the Spirit of Christ, full of life and vitality, full of your love. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for gathering us. Thank you for gathering us with people around the world, people that we join together in our prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation and As we gather, we do not collect our offering in the plates. We do not always gather our offering personally here in the church. We have a growing online presence, and we need the help of that presence to maintain this ministry of Burns. We are all part of Christ's family, and we are all gifted and able to give. So we ask you to be thoughtful about that. We come, we give our offering, and we ask Colleen if you might lift an offertory. Amen. Thank you, Colleen. I invite you to stand as we turn to Tom to give us our gospel lesson for this morning.
Good morning. The scripture today is Luke 9:28-36. It's in the Pew Bible, New Testament, number 65. Now about 8 days after saying, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his exodus, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but as they awoke, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not realizing what they were saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of the Lord.
Time for our youth video and a little bit of aerobics if we're up and able. Stephanie and Holly are going to lead us. We invite everybody who wants to get up here and get in the front of everything and go through the motions. Come forward, please.
Jesus is the one who lights our way.
Oh my goodness, we're in cave darkness. No, let the light come back. Let it return to us. There we go. Light it up, light it up. They're not wound up or anything, are they? No, I don't think so. That's good to see. Lighting up. Cave of the Winds. How many of you have ever been down there? Cave of the Winds. Okay. They now have 3 tours, I'm told. I haven't experienced anything but the one easy tour. If you get the chance and you're a little bit brave, go and do the one where you crawl around. It's the primitive tour. I was a little worried about taking Melissa on a primitive tour in Wyoming. Had to crawl through crevices, all this stuff. I was a little worried about that, and she was gone. She went down through there. She didn't even hesitate. Had to drag Dad through, but we got there. So the light lighting us up. What did you think about Tom's job reading Corinthians? He did a nice job, didn't he? Thank you, Thomas. What did you think about Paul's letter to the people of Corinth? Did you hear it? Did you pay attention to it? Did you hear what he said? God has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Holy mackerel, what's going on here? The letter kills. That sounds pretty. The ministry of death chiseled in stone on stone tablets. This is pretty harsh language. Think about that a minute. He's talking about the Ten Commandments, isn't he? The Decalogue. This is in some places and some settings, Paul would have been killed for this. This is heresy. He is speaking out against the Ten Commandments, I'm lost for words. How about that? You get to see a picture of that. The preacher lost for words. The covenant between Jesus, thank you for the covenant, that's the word I was after. The covenant between Moses and God, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And so here Paul is calling them letters of death chiseled into stone tablets. And he goes on, to this very day when they hear the reading of the old covenant, the same veil is still there. It is not unveiled, since in Christ, it is set aside. This is some harsh language. Now, you have to understand, I don't know, even historians don't know all that was going on with the church in Corinth. There are 2 major letters in our epistles, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Have you heard of those? And those letters, Paul is speaking a lot to the church in Corinth. Now, that either means he loved them an awful lot and they were his favorite, or they needed a lot of guidance. I kind of think the second is, this is my opinion as we read some of those letters, but he is busy trying to help people understand some important things. How could the Ten Commandments, this stone words, these words carved in stone, how can these be letters of death? What could be going on here? My interpretation is this one. But to get there, I have to set this aside for a second, and I'm going to ask you some questions. Do any of you know any laws? Did you know that it is illegal to park on the street facing the wrong way? Do you know you could get a ticket? Yeah. If you're driving in the right-hand lane, if you park on the right, you're good. But if it's not a one-way street, you can't park on the other side facing that way. You could get a ticket for that. Did you know you can get a ticket for parking closer than 15 feet to a fire hydrant? Everybody's nodding their heads. Did you know that it's illegal to put up a yard sign on a telephone pole or a street light or anything in the public right-of-way? Did you know that? So far, everybody's 3 for 3, yeah? Did you know in Aspen it's illegal to throw a snowball at people or buildings? Aspen, Colorado, figure that one out. Did you know in Sterling, Colorado, it's illegal to kiss a sleeping woman? Can't even get my head around that one. I'm just completely lost as to how that's the case. True, these are laws on our state books, and there are many, many, many laws. I had to throw in those last two. Those are just too much fun. But I'll tell you what, it can be a minefield out there. Right after moving to Aurora, we had a huge juniper bush in the front yard, okay? And it had grown over the walk. By the way, you have to have it cut back 18 inches from the sidewalk. Any bush has to be cut back 18 inches. Mine was about 3 feet over the sidewalk. And besides that, it was overgrown, it was full of spiders, it was a mess. And I'm not a big fan of juniper bushes. So tore it out. The next day, I had a notice, a warning that I was going to get a ticket. You see, it's illegal to leave a bare patch of ground in the city of Aurora. I didn't know that. I was pretty startled. And I was amazed that, I mean, I had finished getting the bush out the night before. It was dark. I was weary. I went in and crashed. The next day, I get the warning? I mean, come on. They must be real sticklers for things in Aurora. That is not the case as I see the community around me. Turns out I had some neighbors down the street, and they were sticklers for the law. They knew every code and every edict and every law, and they were busy enforcing it. And as soon as I had moved in and tore that bush out, they had called code enforcement, and code enforcement had to respond. So the laws weren't really helping people get along. They could actually be those things that we use to pick at each other and to foist on each other and to accuse each other of and to sue each other over. My neighbors down the street were raising Cain. Did you know where that origin of that phrase is? This is from Raising Cain, Cain and Abel, back up from the dead, and he's a negative influence. That's where that term comes from. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever used that phrase, Raising Cain? Now you know what it was all about. Do you care? You don't have to say yes just to please me. But Paul, is he talking about the Levitical laws because they were just being used to pressure people, to lord over people, to whip people, to divide people? These laws that should have been bringing harmony and did to an early humanity that was lawless, we had to grow, and those laws had to be there, and they had to be spelled out, and they had to help humanity grow. But that relationship is the one that we reflect when Moses brought the tablets down off Mount Sinai, and the ones that were instilled and became enforced through the church and the temple authorities. What had been meant to help us be people of harmony and care and compassion had become a weight. There were laws if a woman was caught in the act of adultery. That's the one that Jesus confronted the most visibly. It is the most important one to help us name and hear how Jesus was in the world. A woman is brought to him caught in the act. And the law is clear. And they knew Jesus. They knew where he was at. They knew that he was talking about compassion and love and care of one another. So they were testing him. So he turned it on its head. You know the law. Those of you who have been pure, have never made a mistake, begin the process. Cast the first stone. And in all honesty, God bless them, in all honesty, none of them could throw the stone. So we heard in the gospel lesson the transfiguration. This is Transfiguration Sunday. Jesus is transfigured on the mountain. His appearance changes and he glows. This is not unlike Moses. You remember Moses went up on the mountain, and when he came down, he didn't realize it, but people said, your face is glowing. This is outrageous. You just, having seen the Lord, your face shining. So Moses would put on a veil, cover his face with a veil, and he'd take it off when he spoke to God. But the people had to speak to Moses through that veil so that Moses could speak to God for them. They were caught and lost in a relationship separating them from God. Compassion. Compassion. Care for the less fortunate. How can we be about that? How can we care about people that we need to be about? Listen to the Ten Commandments. I won't run them for you right now. But think about them, and they're all about the way that we should be. Love your mother and father. Sure, honor them. Don't kill, don't steal. Those are uncompassionate things. These are relatively straightforward commandments. But the first two are the important ones. Love God and love one another. And it's easy to skip past that. In point of fact, you remember one of them comes and says, Lord, you know, love one another, but love your neighbor as yourself is what it says. Well, who's my neighbor? I don't have to love everybody, do I? I mean, maybe there's people out there that I can say, oh, they're not my neighbor, and I don't have to love them. Those other ones. That's when he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. Loving a man he didn't know, that others couldn't approach, going out of his way to care for a man who had been beaten, who was laying naked, unconscious in a ditch. This evil Samaritan had done this, evil because they were a nation that the Israelites were not supposed to have anything to do with. Everybody is our neighbor. Well, that's a big that's hard to imagine. That's hard to be. I'm working on it, brothers and sisters. I'm not there 100%. But out of all of the commandments, you could accomplish 9 out of them without having any heart whatsoever. Remember, there's a rich young lawyer comes to Jesus. Do you remember this? He came and he said, He said, Lord, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to achieve eternal life? What are my goals as a good religious person? Jesus said, have you followed the commandments? Yes, Lord, all of them since my youth. I've done all the commandments rigorously. Dare I say religiously? That's a pun. And Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom. Now, use your wealth to take care of each other. And the rich young man walks away sad because he's got a lot of riches. And he's worked very hard to get those riches. And those riches give him power and position and prestige. And he is caught with putting those possessions before the commandment. See, it's possible to obey the commandments without having any heart. Is that what Paul's talking about? I believe it is. These commandments that are letters of death, lifeless letters. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. This is Paul. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. God's Spirit, God's love, God's care of one another. The commandment to us through Jesus, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Puts it right out there first and foremost after loving God. Amen? Christ invites us to his table. Shall we join? Let's turn. I invite Pastor Neo. Did it not? Now it's really on. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, and he gave thanks to God for it, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks for the cup, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. May we partake, may we celebrate, may we do this in remembrance of our Lord. I invite the communion helpers forward. pray for Nalu, hobbling forward. I did that on purpose so Mark could get a little extra exercise. We both forgot, didn't we, brother?
So if you're able, please stand. Turn to page 364 in the hymnal, or you can follow on the large screen, and we'll sing Because He Lives.
This week is an interesting one. How many of you have plans on Tuesday? Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, the last day to feast before the time of Lent. Are you preparing for that journey? Are you preparing to make that journey into Lent? May it be so. In the name of God, may you be prospered. In the name of Christ, may you be Spirit-filled. And in the name of the Holy Spirit, may your joys be always before you. Amen? Amen? Let's join our hands and sing our closing.
Everywhere you go.
God's people said,
Amen. Amen.